Last week, the shortlist for the 2014 International Impact Dublin Literary Award was announced, and our reviewer Kay Sheehy introduced the 10 shortlisted titles. Today, she's here to review the first of the books, and you're starting, Kay, with one of the two Irish books on the list, The Light of Amsterdam, written by David Park. Just remind us of what David Park has achieved in his writing career to date, Kay.
Right, this is his eighth book, but he has in fact written nine books, because I think you recently interviewed him about his most recent book.
That's right, The Poet's Wives. He spoke to us about that book a couple of weeks back.
Okay, so The Light of Amsterdam is the one before that. And the one before that is The Truth Commissioner, which imagined a truth commission, a truth and reconciliation commission for Northern Ireland and the lives of various people again who have to go through this commission.
The Truth Commission, and indeed many of the books before that, definitely had a political slant and a political aspect to them. What about The Light of Amsterdam, which came immediately after the Truth Commission? Are we in a political world?
No, very much not. The first part of the book is set in Amsterdam, is set in Belfast, but then we move on and most of the book is set in Amsterdam. And there's one or two oblique references to the Troubles, but it's very much a book about personal, interpersonal relationships. But just to say, it's not about hate and death and the violence of Northern Ireland. It's still a very deep book. He gets into the deeply hurtful, broken heart stories of a man's relationship with his son, a mother with her daughter, and then an interpersonal relationship between a couple.
In fact, there are three, for the most part, let's think of them as separate stories.
And maybe very much, yeah.
You can talk about if they mix up together in any way later on. So there are three pretty separate stories. The first of them, which starts around the time of George Best's funeral, which was such a big moment in Belfast.
Yes, so we're at George Best's funeral, and so we're in Belfast in 2005, and George Best's body has just been brought back to Belfast. And Alan is really the central character of the book. He's one of the three narratives in the book, and he's middle-aged, he's an art teacher, he's balding, he's separated from his wife Susan, and they together have had a son who is now a teenager, Jack, and he's a troubled teenager. And the problem with Alan is Alan's a bit lost in his life. He loves George Best. He loves Bob Dylan. He's got a Salvador Dali poster on his wall. He's a man caught in a time warp, but yet he's hanging on to. So when he's in pain, he plays Bob Dylan records. When he's, you know, he's going to Amsterdam to try and relive a time when he was hopeful and young, and the world was his oyster.
Well, loving George Best is one thing. Loving Bob Dylan, that's all very well as well. And having Salvador Dali in your bedroom poster is grand. I guess we might have some inkling there as to why his marriage has broken up. Is he obsessed with things that are, if you like, not concrete and not in front of him and of this world?
I think what he does then is let other things slip. So he let his marriage slip. He had a stupid affair with somebody in the college that meant nothing to him.
He's a teacher.
That's right. He's a university teacher, an art teacher. And his wife, Susan, then, he tells his wife, and his wife is almost looking for a chance to break up. And now she's moved on with her life. She has a new man in her life, Gordon, who has so much hair. As Alan is balding, Gordon has like Michael Heseltine. His hair bursting out of every follicle in his chest. And in fact, David Park, who writes beautifully in terms of putting metaphors or creating pictures for us, talks about Gordon being like Jacob in the Bible, who put on the animal skin to deceive his father. So as though Gordon is going in to deceive, you know, to take over his place in the family.
But I suppose that the relationship that really is the one that's examined in this part of the story of The Light of Amsterdam is the relationship between Alan, the art teacher, and his son, Jack, this troubled teenager, who ends up having to go to Amsterdam with him for the planned weekend.
Yes, because Susan has moved on with life. She wants to go to Spain that weekend with Gordon to look at a B&B property she's interested in. So he now has to take his son, Jack, who is troubled, uncommunicative, in a deep depression, to go with him to Amsterdam to look at this old folk hero, Bob Dylan, at a concert. So They have a wonderful journey in terms of not getting on, then the son becoming starting to challenge Alan about the affair he had and how he broke up the marriage.
Let's hold off a bit on the transformative, or what happens in Amsterdam, because I suppose there are sort of parallels in what happens across the three stories. The second story is, if we had a father-son really in the first one, this is a mother-daughter, Karen and her daughter Shannon, who is engaged to a fellow called Wade. I love the names in this story. Describe Karen. What sort of age is this woman, and what sort of life does she lead with her daughter Shannon and Shannon's
Karen,
fiance?
Karen is coming up to her 40th birthday, and she has given up all her life really to look after her only daughter, who is Shannon. And Shannon is a very self-obsessed teenager. She's obviously very attractive, but she spends most of her time looking in the mirror. Karen works as a cleaning job, one in the morning and one in the afternoon, working in a care home. And she has to go on a hen party dressed as a Red Indian to satisfy Shannon's crazy idea that this is how they should celebrate, go to this kind of seedy Amsterdam and have great crack. Whereas Karen, who is providing all the money for the wedding, is now worried about this extra cost. So she's, you know, she's worried, and she's also worried about Wade, because she herself was abandoned when she was pregnant by her boyfriend of the time.
Okay, so that's the second story then. The third story is a husband and wife, Marion and Richard. What age group are they in, and what's the state of their marriage?
They'd be in their 50s, and they're business partners, and they're also married. And they run a company together, and Marion is just afraid that Richard is going to leave her, that he is no longer interested in her.
Is he looking around?
She thinks he is. She thinks he's. They have Polish girls working for them, and he invites them back for tea. We, as the reader, see, very nice, Richard. Why wouldn't you ask the Polish girls back for tea?
That's all he wants, is to have tea with them.
But Moni Marion can only see that everybody wants to run off with Richard, and Richard wants to run off with everybody. And so they go with this dilemma, and she has an idea of how she's going to solve everything when they get to Amsterdam.
I get the impression you're not too fond of Marion as a character.
No.
Now, the three stories, Alan's story, Karen's story and Marion's story, are they equal in the book, or is the one story that really drives the book?
I think there are two stories that drive the book. I mean, I think Alan is the most interesting character. It's the most interestingly written in terms of Park and the way he uses metaphor and draws pictures. But Karen is a more lovable character and an engaging character. Marion and Richard are rather cardboard characters. You know, Richard is presented as somebody who can't relate to his wife, but we only see it from her point of view, whereas we actually see a rather nice man.
Mm. Does Amsterdam become a transformative place for all three stories and all three characters?
Yes, it does. I mean, there are no easy finishes to it, but most definitely everybody goes through an epiphany, and they use Amsterdam. In Alan's case, it's his past experience of Amsterdam. In Karen's case, it's through art in the museum that she becomes to think of her own troubles, and then really bites the bullet in terms of having to even give more love to this daughter that we all think is rather selfish.
Marion thing gets involved in the sex industry, and again, I think this was the least satisfying of the three stories for you.
It was, because it was hard to believe that you might think of buying the services of somebody to make your husband happy.
Overall then, this book, The Light of Amsterdam by David Park, did you enjoy the read, Kay, and do you think it's contenders for this year's IMPAC?
I think David Park is a wonderful writer. I just think these stories, which mightn't sing off the back of the book in terms of something you'd be engaged in, he engages us completely in Alan and Karen's life. Yeah, the third story is disappointing, but it's not important enough even in the book, because the other two stories are so strong. I think he is a contender, but I don't think he'll win.
All right, so he's a maybe for you. Next week you'll be talking about Marie and Daye, and another book with three narratives in it. It's called Three Strong Women, and these three stories link Senegal and France. The book that Kay Sheehy was talking to us about this evening, David Park's The Light of Amsterdam, is published by Bloomsbury.